Welcome to the Voice of Grace broadcast, sponsored by the Grace Baptist Church in Hazelhurst. This is Brother Ronnie Wilcox, the pastor. We're glad to have you along with us this evening, and I hope the broadcast will be a blessing to you. Anytime you want to come by and visit with us, we're located at 12 North William Street, right behind the Handy Andy Building Supply, about a block from the police department. If you want to write us, you can write us at P.O. Box 940, Hazelhurst, Georgia, 31539. You can look us up on the web if you've got any questions about our church at www.gracebaptistgeorgia.com. Well, we're going to get right into the message now, and I hope the message will be a blessing to your heart, and I'll make a few comments at the end of the broadcast.
Isaiah number 53, one of the most popular, common passages in the Bible. I'm going to read a few verses and preach to you. Amen. Isaiah number 53. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible starts out with this passage by saying, who hath believed our report? That's what I want to preach about this morning. Who hath believed? Who hath believed our report? And there's a report given here. There's a message given. Great message. You think about the message given down through the pages of time, and men didn't believe it. You think about Joshua and Caleb gave a message, a report of determination in Numbers 14. Jehu gave a report of doom in 1 Kings 9. Noah gave a report of darkness in Genesis chapter number 7. Jonah gave a report of destruction in Jonah chapter 3. Nathan gave a report of disaster to King David in 2 Samuel chapter number 12. Elijah gave a report of decision in 1 Kings chapter 18. Daniel gave a report of damnation in Daniel chapter 5. Isaiah here gives a report of deliverance in Isaiah 53. Amen. And it's a report of a suffering Savior. It's a report of a substitutional Savior. It's a report of a submitted Savior. Verse 5, verse 6, verse 7. In verse 8, it's a report of a stricken Savior. In verse 9, it's a sinless Savior. And you see in verse 10, it's a selected Savior. Verse number 10, it's also a successful Savior. But I want to look on over and talk about in the New Testament about who hath believed our report as we go further. Over in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, I want to connect these dots, if you'll look with me, as we talk about our report from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. From Isaiah 53. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Another very familiar passage. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Bible said here in verse number 15. It said, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And he closes it out by saying, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, we see here a report on a departure. Now, as we study the Bible and we study, know anything about prophecy, and if you know anything about the Bible, and if you're just a casual student of the Word of God, then you know that the rapture is the very next thing on God's clock of prophecy. Amen. The clock is ticking. Now, God's clock of prophecy with Israel is stopped. God's not dealing with Israel anymore, not right now. But when the rapture takes place, the clock starts ticking again, and God begins to deal with Israel again. And as most of you know, we've talked a lot about that lately in our Bible studies about Daniel's 70th week, you know, the 70th week, which is the last 7 years that God has to deal with Israel, which is the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble and all that. That'll be the 7 year period of tribulation, which will be the time that the church will be gone. We won't be here. We'll be long gone. Amen. That'll be the time. That'll be when the church is snatched out of here. If you notice in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the church, the church, the church, the church. And then in chapter 4 of the book of Revelation, John said, he said, I saw a door open. And he begins to talk about this. And he said, I heard a voice say, come up hither. And then after that, you don't hear or see the church mentioned anymore. All those plagues and vials and all those terrible, horrible things that come to take place during all that time, all the way through chapter number 20. And then you see the church again. Listen, that tells us that the church is not on earth during the time of the tribulation. But right here, when we're talking about the rapture for a few minutes, brother, I want to say that we're living in that time. Who hath believed our report? Jesus said this about the coming of the Lord. He said that it'll be like it was in the days of Noah. He said they will be married and given in marriage. And he said they will be eating and drinking and married and given in marriage before that day of the Lord. I used to think this. I used to think, well, what's wrong with eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage? That's not a sin. That wasn't what he's talking about. Here's what he was talking about. He said they would be eating and drinking and married and given in marriage and not take thought until the day the flood came. What he was saying was people wouldn't take warning. They would ignore all the warnings. They wouldn't even listen to preaching. Do you realize that Noah preached for 120 years? He wasn't just out there building an ark. The Bible said he was a preacher of righteousness. He preached, brother. He preached and warned them people. He said, boys, they said, what are you building this boat for? He said, it's going to rain. The judgment of God is coming. Listen, there's a few preachers still left that's preaching. The judgment of God is coming. And people say, well, you're crazy. You're just a doom and gloom, hellfire and damnation. You ought to thank God that there's a few of us left that's still preaching it, brother. Hey, I want to tell you something this morning. Hey, the judgment of Almighty God is coming to this nation. Hey, I want to tell you, we're killing unborn babies every day, to the tune of about 4,300 babies a day in America. We're pushing this homosexual agenda down people's throats by the millions. Brother, God's not going to sit back and take it. Listen, judgment is coming to America. It's coming. You better brace yourself. You better get right with God and stay right with God. Amen. You'll look back and say that little crazy, bald-headed preacher was telling it right when he said it was coming. Amen. He said they'd take no thought. People go along acting like nothing is ever going to happen. But it's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. Jesus said they took no thought until the day. He said until the day. I'm telling you, brother, it took a while to load them animals on that ark. But they didn't believe it until the day that the door was shut and the rain started coming. That's right. Who hath believed their report? I want to say it's a desperate church. The Bible said 1 Timothy 4:1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm going to tell you, brother, we're a desperate church. I'm going to tell you, it ain't like it used to be. Listen, go through your phone, go through the phone book, ask any preacher. Listen, you don't have to believe me. Don't take my word for it. Just randomly call any pastor that's got any age on them. I'm not talking about calling some preacher that started preaching 6 months ago. I'm talking about call a preacher that's got some age on him and ask him, preacher, is it like it used to be? Is serving God and preaching and winning souls anything like it used to be? He'll say, you're out of your guard, man. You're crazy. Things has changed. It ain't like it once was. We're in a desperate church. Hey, we're in damage control now. Amen. You can't get people in church anymore. Once you get them, you can't keep them. I'm telling the truth. You know what? You know what me and other pastors talk about now? Instead of soul winning, you used to talk about soul winning and getting people together and go out and knock on doors, see how many people you can get saved. Now we just talk about holding on to the ones we got. How's it going, preacher? Well, I ain't had a split lately. Praise God. Hallelujah. I still got what I had last year. Well, glory to God. I ain't lost but one family this year and gained a family. Hallelujah, preacher. I'm telling you, it's that way everywhere, folks. It ain't just limited to one or two churches. It's everybody everywhere. I'm telling you, folks, listen, there's a decline in church membership. It ain't just Roddy Wilcox reporting this and two or three other preachers. It's on ABC News and Fox News and CNN News. It's all over the world they're reporting this decline in church membership. People ain't got no use for church no more. Could care less. It's a desperate church. Secondly, let me say this. We're a despondent church. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except they're coming falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. We're becoming more of a minority with each passing day. Did you know what? The church is becoming less of an influence than it ever was. People could care less. You know, they had that National Day of Prayer thing. And they had that. It's a good thing. But you don't hear talk about it on the news. They talk about everything under God's heaven. You know, when they talk about, now listen, don't take me wrong what I'm going to say. And just blow a gasket here. But in October, they talk about National Breast Cancer Awareness. I'm all for it. But they don't talk about national prayer awareness or church attendance awareness. I'm all for breast cancer awareness. I'm all for that. But they don't do that for other types of cancer. I wonder if there's a political something behind that. Yeah, everybody wears pink. Why don't everybody start wearing a red scarf because of the blood of Jesus? Amen. What about soul winning awareness month? Try to get people saved. Yeah. What about prayer awareness? I mean, you see a bunch of football players around on the field after a game praying. They'll have the camera on, and they'll switch the camera to something else. They won't even mention it. Won't even mention it. They'll see them on the field, they act like they're a bunch of freaks. Amen. We're becoming less and less of a priority in America. You know, the other day when they had that bomb scare and that bomb threat in the White House, you know what they did? They grabbed their stuff, grabbed their laptops and their iPads and all their stuff and ran out of the place. Not one person got down on their knees and started calling out to a thrice holy God. There used to be a day when we prayed in this country. We're a despondent church. I mean, preach the gospel while you got a national audience. Let her rip, Taylor Chip. Tell the world that Jesus died for sinners. Amen. That's right. We're a despondent church. Thirdly, we're a depleting church. The number of people in America that do not attend church has doubled in the last 15 years. There are almost 100 million unchurched Americans. 11 to 20% of them claim to be born again. They've either left church or never connected for some reason. People are leaving church. And you ask them why, and you know what they tell you? They say, well, I just got out of the habit of going. Or I'm busy. If you're too busy to go to church, you need to cut something out. You need to quit one of them jobs or quit one of them ball teams or quit band or quit something. You're just too busy. Yeah, that's right. 13, 20 to 25% read their Bible consistently. 59% attend church weekly. 16% listen to Christian radio. 7% watch Christian TV. And that's a big joke. 11% are held accountable to someone. Only 6% of Christians say they are deeply committed to their faith, yet 85% of evangelicals make this claim. Amen? 1 in 4 have a place in the church where they serve. 1 in 4 have a place in their church where they serve. That only means 25% of people that do go to church does anything. I can vouch for that. Less than 50% say that the Bible is totally accurate. And 60% of those claim to be born again. How could you go to church and only half of you believe the Bible's true? If I didn't believe it's true, I wouldn't be here tonight. If I didn't believe every word of this book was true, I wouldn't be back tonight. Y'all be hunting a preacher. If I didn't believe every word of it was true, I wouldn't come back. Amen. That's right, brother. We're a depleting church. I'm talking about the church. You know what the Bible said? The Bible said as time goes on, it gets closer to the rapture of the church. This thing's going to end in apostasy. But I mean, you know what I'm saying? Amen. I mean, brother, really, really. We're a depleting church. It takes God's grace. Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, the Bible says. Fourthly, let me say this about the church. It's a discouraged church. And it's hard for young people to understand what I'm talking about this morning because you've never seen it. But me and my wife, maybe Brother Sam, and my kids have seen a little bit of it. Brother Sam, Brother Jeff, Miss Shirley, I know Miss Alva, if she's still here, could tell you. We remember a time when the church was on fire, when things was really happening. And over the last 20 years, it's just really dried up. Where churches is just a formality. You come to church, and stand there and you do this, and you go through this, and you sing the doxology, and you carry the offering plate up. Deacon so-and-so sings his part. Deacon so-and-so prays his prayer. Everybody does their little thing. You read the little thing, and it tells you what to do. Everybody does the same thing every Sunday, and it's a ritual. Nobody ever feels anything. You never feel the touch of God in the singing. Nobody ever sheds any tears. Nobody does anything out of the ordinary. And nobody ever gets up and goes to the altar and weeps and cries. And you never see anybody get saved. And the baptismal never gets filled up with water. There's cobwebs in the baptismal pool. Nobody ever rides a church van to church anymore. Amen. Because we're a discouraged church. It makes you discouraged. Because you remember what it used to be like. Remember that scripture over there in the book of Ezra where they started rebuilding the temple? And it said the young men rejoiced and the old men wept. The young men was rejoicing because the temple's going to be rebuilt again, but those old men wept because they remember them old days.
Yeah. Amen.
We was talking. We got a few minutes, and I'm going to talk to you just a minute. Your daddy remembers it. My daddy remembers it. I remember them days when I first started preaching in 1978. I remember going to church, and the Holy Ghost showed up.
Amen.
I remember. I told Debbie last night, I said, you know what? We was riding home yesterday. We'd been over here with the kids for a little while. Met up with Jeff and Shirley's to the little pool party the kids had. Come back to the church last night and had supper with the kids, the teenagers. And me and Debbie was kind of joking. I said, you know what I wish had happened tomorrow at church? I said, I wish we'd get up before assembly for Sunday school and the Holy Ghost had come down and we wouldn't even have Sunday school. She started laughing. She said, yeah, I remember them days. It used to happen all the time. It's happened here a few times. It used to be common. Amen. Y'all remember them days? It used to happen. That was pretty common. And I remember where you call your preacher friend the next day. It's a house church yesterday and say, man, we had such a good time. I didn't even get to preach. We didn't even have Sunday school.
Amen.
We didn't have Sunday school. Didn't have preaching. We shouted and we sang. 4 people got saved. Sister so-and-so shook the bobby pins out of her. How about to put one kid's eye out? It got on like Donkey Kong. Yeah, you remember that? And we thought it died down. Somebody got up and started singing another song, got the guitar and started singing. And it turned loose again.
Amen.
And it died back down. We started taking up offering. We started singing, "I'll Fly Away," and it tore loose again. The Lord wasn't done. I remember going to church and having 3 or 4 altar calls. I'm telling you, people. I've seen that happen. I remember one time we went way off somewhere up in Tennessee and preached in this old schoolhouse. This old schoolhouse didn't have running water, no nothing, just a building. And we'd rented it. Actually, they didn't charge us. They just let us have it. Up in, I think it was in Tennessee, and had an outside toilet. Let us borrow it for a weekend. Me and 5 or 6 preachers, and we used it for 3 or 4 days to have a revival. And we brought cinder blocks in and laid 2x8s on it, and people packed that thing out. And we sat on them 2x6s, the people did, and we preached every night. Barely had electricity run from somewhere, a drop cord in there, and had some lights strung, you know, them old lights. Bugs just flying around in there. We had a couple guitars and played and sung. We had a time. We had a time. God moved in on that place. People just parking wherever they could find out here on the dirt road. It wasn't a nice place, but God met us in that place. Well, that Sunday afternoon, we drove home. We drove several hours home back to North Carolina that evening. We just wore to a frazzle. I got out of the truck, barely got back to my church where my daddy's pastor. And I thought, if I can just get back and just get back home in time for church. Most people would go home, just go to the house and prop up. And this is the way my family's always been geared. We got back to church and they started church. By the time they was up singing, I just went walking in, had my jeans on, just a button-up shirt. And they was just up singing. Here we come dragging in. Look what the cats dragged in. I don't remember what they were singing. The hairs standing up on the back of my neck. Glory to God. People started raising their hands. Man, it started getting good. And man, the Holy Ghost came down. I remember it like it was yesterday. Heaven came down in that place. I'm telling you what, my dad said, "Ronnie, get on up here and say something for us." I thought, Lord have mercy. We camped out in the woods up there. That's where we stayed. That's the motel we stayed in. We camped out in the woods in a tent and preached all week. I thought, Lord, I just want to get somewhere to run in water and wash the stink off of me. Come on up, son, preach. I got up there and preached probably 2 hours straight, wearing jeans and cowboy boots. I'm going to tell you, that's the way it used to be. One morning we had sunrise service, and my mama fixed a big old breakfast for a bunch of us. And we got out there praying outside, me and another guy, and got to crying and shouting. And it got so good, we run through the church and run out the front door and started running around the church, running laps. And it was dark. Dark outside. Hadn't even got daylight. Here come the police riding out there. 2 carloads of them circling the block. And then they pulled up in front of us and said, "Woo, woo. You boys all right?" And the guy's with him, he said, "We're just praising Jesus. This is Easter. He rose from the dead. He's alive." And they said, "Y'all be careful. Just don't get out in the road." They just drove off. That stuff happened all the time, brother and sister. All the time. Every time you went to church, it's like this. It's like you was on pins and needles because you knew something big was going to happen. Something big was going to happen. One time we went to this church. We went in the prayer room. And the prayer room was right back there in the vestibule. We went in the prayer room. Much of us, man, there's about 20 of us just crammed in there like that. We went in the prayer room in heaven. Come down. We come busted out of there. And we went outside instead of coming in here. I don't know why. We went outside and went to shouting and praising God and preaching out in the parking lot. And the women was in here and heard us. And so they all come out there. We had church outside. Amen. We had church outside for about an hour. And then women got to singing, clapping their hands. It was crazy. You say, "Preacher, y'all was nuts." I know it. That's what made it so good. I could tell you story after story after story. It went on like that all the time. That's why it's a discouraged church. Now we've got everything. Now we got padded pews and central air and beautiful facilities and everything anybody can want, but we don't have the power anymore. You have to drum it up. I thought a while ago when God started moving and had a couple of testimonies, I thought to myself, there ought to be 10 people just like that, like popcorn, ought to start giving their testimony. God's been so good to us. Here we are saved, on our way to heaven. Some of y'all, your grandkids are in this church saved and working for the Lord. And they could be out in the world. They could be on drugs. Your grandkids could be on drugs. Some of y'all this week saw and was telling me, Jeff was telling me yesterday about seeing somebody's picture in the paper this week. That could have been my kids. That could have been him in the paper or him. That could have been her in the paper. But it wasn't. They're right here in the church singing and working and teaching Sunday school. Every time we call for testimonies, very least we can do is say, hey, I'm next. Let me go next. We ought to be fighting each other, but instead we just stand around like this.
Amen. That's good.
Like we got some kind of a virus or something. We ought to be ashamed of ourselves, how dead and dried up we are on God after all God's done for us, brother and sister. I'm telling you, it's discouraging sometimes how good God is to us, and we never, never give Him anything. The Bible said He's due all our praise that we can give Him.
Amen.
We shouldn't have to be pumped up.
Amen.
Amen. We ought to keep our ears open to the Word and our mind stayed on the Lord and our body a holy living sacrifice. Last thing I want to say is, not only is we're a discouraged church, but thank God we're a departing church.
Amen.
Somebody done said it. We're leaving. I told Debbie this the other day. Ronnie, you can come on up to the piano. I told Debbie the other day, I said, I've never in my life ever wanted to leave here as much as I do now. I don't mean just me by myself. I'm talking about me and my kids and my family, all of us. I'll never want to get out of this world like I do now. This world's so vile and filthy and ungodly, and it ain't going to change. If the Republicans win the election, that ain't going to change nothing. It's gone, boys. She's gone. It's so far gone now. We've let it go so far now, we've forsaken God. And the Bible tells us every nation that forgets God will be turned into hell. That's a Bible promise. We ain't going to get around it. America ain't going to get around it. You might say, I don't like that kind of preaching. You can go somewhere else and get different preaching if you want it. But you ain't going to get away from that promise. The wicked will be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. But I'm going to tell you something. We're a departing church. We're leaving out of here. We're leaving. Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. And they'd like for us to leave quietly, but we're leaving here with a shout. They'll be glad when we're gone, but I'm going to tell you what, when we leave, it ain't going to be nice and pleasant after we leave. Because if I understand the Bible correctly, the man that's going to take over, they think they got a nice leader now. The ones fixing to take over is going to be real bad. Amen. The little horn, the prince that shall come, he's going to rule all right. They think he's going to give them all, everything they could ever possibly dream of. He will, but then he'll take it all away from them. It's going to be sudden, it's going to be selective, and it's going to be scriptural. The church is leaving. You're here this morning, you don't know for sure if you're ready to go. I'd make sure.
Amen.
I'd make sure. Let's stand this morning.
Well, that's all we got time for today, friends. I appreciate you tuning us in. It's been a blessing to be with you. And I hope you'll tune us in again next time. We're on here at WULS at 5:30 each weekday. From 5:30 to 5:45, and we're also on Sunday afternoons at 12:30 for a full half hour till 1 o'clock. So you tune us in anytime you can. Our phone number here at the church is 551-9029. Our services are Sunday morning Sunday school at 10 o'clock, worship service at 11, and then Sunday evening at 6, and then Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And you can come see us anytime you like. If you've got any questions, just look us up on the web or give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Well, again, this is Brother Ronnie Wilcox, pastor of Grace Baptist Church. Thank you again for listening, and may the Lord bless you is our prayer.